Oh, glory to God. I just thank God for the victory we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I'm going to start this message like this. I'm not ashamed to say it to you. I'm living in divine health. Hallelujah. I'm living in divine health. And it belongs to you. Now, it doesn't mean that the devil doesn't attack me. He does. Throughout this week, I've felt an attack on my health. But I go back to the word. And I lay hold on the word. And the devil must leave. Because the Bible says, submit yourself to God. One of the ways you submit yourself to God is to feed on the word. Amen? When anything is coming against you, when you go back to the word of God and begin to meditate on what God has said, you are submitting yourself to God. Amen? And then, when you do that, you are now ready to say, Satan, out. Amen? There are times that you're welcome, sister. God bless you. Good to see you. There are times that it's like you've commanded the devil to leave, and it's like you still see evidence that he's not left. James 4:7. Open to James 4:7. The title of today's sermon is Receive Deliverance. Can you say to yourself, say, I receive deliverance. Let's do that again. I said the title of today's sermon is Receive Deliverance. Now say to yourself, say, I receive deliverance. Okay, open to James 4:7. Let's start from there. James 4, and we are going to read verse 7. Okay, let's have someone read for us. James 4:7. Whoever is ready. Yes, please take it. Yeah. Okay, just a minute, please. James 4:7. Yes.
James 4:7. King James Version. Submit yourself, therefore, to the Lord.
Submit yourself, therefore, to the Lord. Yes?
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Resist the devil, and what will he do? He will flee from you. Anybody have that James 4:7 from Amplified? Or Amplified Classic? James 4:7 from Amplified or Amplified Classic. Anybody have it? Yes. Okay. James 4:7 from Amplified or Amplified Classic.
Okay. So be subject to God.
So be subject to God, yes.
Resist the devil.
Resist the devil.
Stand firm against him.
You see? So and to resist the devil, you need to stand firm. You stand your ground.
And he will flee from you.
He will flee from you. So let me just break that down and say that. I'm still coming to submit to God, but just to say that in resisting the devil, there are times that you resist the devil and it will be as though he's still around. Amen? What you need to do is stand firm. Hallelujah. Sometimes the devil will test your resolve. He will test whether you mean what you said. Amen? He will test whether you know what you claim to know. Are you with me? So when you are making your claim, and that's why submitting to God is important before resisting the devil. Because in place of submitting to God, you are praying and you are meditating on God's word. That increases your confidence level. Amen? Through prayer and through meditation on the word, your confidence increases. And let me just say, meditation on the word is not just reading your Bible. It also includes listening to sermons. Let me give an example. I say, if you are not feeling well, you're a believer. Don't just lie down there and pity yourself. Find sermons on healing and listen to them. Listen to people who will tell you about how God, healed people, how God set them free, an impossible situation that was made possible. It will stimulate your faith. It will increase your confidence in God. Amen? If you are struggling in your finances, don't just sit back there. You know, there are people that are struggling in their finances, but they hate prosperity teachers. So there are people, including myself, by the way, who will continue and teach you about how to prosper through the word of God. Now, there are moments that they go out, they are criticizing prosperity teachers, but they are living in lack, not enough. Yeah? Even when it's time for offering, all they can give is brown coins. Yeah? But they don't want to listen to any teaching on prosperity. It's the work of the devil. Amen? Because you need to sit down and listen to someone who can teach you from the word of God how you can break that barrier. Otherwise you won't know it. Someone, there are people who they were in abject poverty. And they operated the principle of God's word. And now, they are in more than enough. And people are angry at them. Amen? Hallelujah. I always keep telling people, when people tell me they are angry, you know, at preachers, you know, that are rich, you know. So I say, well, are you angry at Richard Branson? Yeah? Why are you not angry at him? Okay, he said he worked for his money. Yes. But so also did the preacher. In the days of their beginning, they suffered at nothing. In fact, they could have gone into business. Some people preaching today could have been very successful businessmen. Some people preaching today, like me, could have been professors in the university. Some people preaching today could have been, you know, surgeons and doctors. Does it matter? Whether he's a surgeon or he's a businessman or whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is that if you follow the word of God, you can prosper. And so if you are suffering in that part of your life, you need to listen to the word of God. And don't just listen to anybody. If somebody comes to preach to me about prosperity, I need to check their life. Are they prospering? Amen? If they are prospering, don't get angry at them. Listen. They know something you don't. Hallelujah. Now, if someone comes to preach to you about divine health, the first thing I want to check is, are they living in hell? Yeah, are they using their faith to overcome sickness? Because now they know something I don't know. Then I'm ready to listen to them. Hallelujah. Any part of your life, if you are under oppression or depression, you need to find the word. Yeah? What is that? There are some people that they are sent to minister. Someone like Joyce Meyer, for example, you know, is sent to minister along some particular lines of mental well-being. Amen? You don't get angry at them. You sit down, listen. Hallelujah. Because you have what you need. Amen? You see, you're not self-made. If you need something, it's like you're going to, you know, you need a grocery. You go to the supermarket that has it. And if you go to a particular one and they don't have it, next time you don't go there, yeah? For that particular, if you need, what can you need? Mustard seed. And you go to your one-stop shop and there's no mustard seed. Do you know next time you're not going to go for mustard seed there? You can go there for bread, but not mustard seed. You will find a shop that can give you mustard seed. Hallelujah. This is all part of how we submit to God. Amen? We submit to his word. Then we become confident to resist the devil. But resisting the devil means stand firm. Amen? Sometimes the symptoms may pass, but stand your ground. And it will go. And when it goes, what has happened is that now you have become more solidified in your faith. You know that you can chase it away. Hallelujah. You know that you can chase it away using your faith. Praise the Lord. Say, I submit to God and I resist the devil and he must flee. Hallelujah. Okay, open to Psalm 103. That was just the beginning. I want to show you today some things that God has done for you. I want to teach a bit about the character of God. What you can expect from God. What about with God is God? You know? When we know the character of God, we know what to expect. Psalm 103. We're reading verse 1 to 5. Okay? Thank you. We're in verse 1 to 5. Who we go for this? Someone who has not read today. We'll go around today, okay? Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Yes? Yes.
I'm reading from... Apologies.
Please go.
Amplified version. Bless affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, O my soul. And all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Bless affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives every one of all our iniquities, who heals each one of all your diseases.
Each one of all. I like that. Yes.
Who redeems your life from the pits and corruption. Who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy.
Amen. Continue.
Who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire of your at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagle, strong, overcoming, and soaring.
Amen. Amen. You know, we're going to talk about the character of God. But before that, I want to show you something that is important in that place. He said, bless the Lord. Let me ask a question. Let me ask our youth there, okay? Hello? Hello? Okay. The question is this. Is it possible to bless God? I thought God is the one that blesses us. Is it possible to bless God? And if how do you bless God? Yes? God blesses us, isn't it? All blessings come from God, yeah? So is it possible to bless God? And how do we bless God? It's not difficult. The answer is right there. Yes? It's right there. Go on. Take it. And then share it. How can you bless God? Hello? Yeah. God blesses us, yeah? But how can we bless God? Because the Bible says we should bless the Lord. And we sang it, bless the Lord. Oh, I see. How do you bless God?
By singing.
By what? Singing, yes. Give it to Agnes. How do you bless God? Can the person bless God? You can say no and give us the reason. Okay, let me rescue you. Pass it to your auntie there. Can a person bless God? And how do you bless God?
I think we can bless God through blessing others as well.
Okay, well, then you are blessing others.
Like,
I want the direct one.
Okay. probably giving to the church.
Okay, giving, yes. So giving to the Lord. Okay, giving to the Lord. Yeah, giving to the church is equal to giving to the Lord. Amen. That's the best. That's the most direct type of giving you can give to the Lord, because the church is the body of the Lord. Amen? Yes? How can you bless God? Or is it possible?
Yes, it's possible to bless the Lord. We can bless God by our service to Him.
Our service to Him? Our giving to Him? Yes?
And
you want to do it all?
Also by worship and praise.
Worship and praise, yes? I saw another hand. Did she dribble you?
By thanking Him.
By thanking Him. Yes. Another one. Come on, sister.
Showing sign of affection.
Yes. Expressing your love. You know. Although, how do you express your love? It has to come out, isn't it? You know, like, God is not physical. So you can say, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Hallelujah. Any other one I missed? How can we bless God?
By confessing with our mouth and, you know, telling Him the good things He's done, just blessing, just worshiping Him.
Yes.
With our mouth.
So just linking to what Sister Amanda said, you know, expressing that love. I always say that love is never complete until it's expressed. Amen? Don't say, I love Him. He knows that I love Him. She knows I love her. You have to say it. Amen? If you don't say, you are denying the power of that love, whether in the physical or in the spiritual. We have to express our love to God. Yeah, and that comes through praise and thanksgiving. Amen? So actually, when we praise God and we thank Him, we are blessing Him. You know, last week I was trying to explain that it's not a one-way traffic. Amen? It's a two-way relationship. Your relationship with God is two-way. You serve God, God serves you. You bless God, God blesses you. Hallelujah. You give to God, God gives to you. Amen? It's a two-way. It's never one way. God wants relationship. Relationship is two-way. Hallelujah. So He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So I find out today as I'm meditating that all those blessings that are listed, forgiving your sins, healing your diseases, delivering you from destruction, loving kindness and mercies, giving you good things, they link back to blessing the Lord. Amen? So one of the ways I can make sure that I walk in victory and deliverance is to learn to what? To bless the Lord. And the most fundamental way you will bless the Lord is praise and thanksgiving. Amen? That won't cost you nothing. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Sometimes you are not feeling well, or you are not feeling on top, or something is just upside down. things are not looking good, something is not working, go back and spend some time to bless the Lord. Amen. It's a key of divine health. I don't want you to forget it. It's not just to claim scriptures. Amen. Just to bless God. Don't let your blessing God depend on how you are feeling. You know, sometimes you're not feeling good, but you can still bless God. Amen. Sometimes you're not feeling well. You know, I say, when you're using your faith, it doesn't mean you are denying the facts. It just means that you refuse to emphasize the facts. I'm not going to go around and tell anybody, oh, I'm not feeling well. Amen? But if my wife comes to me and says, how are you feeling? I say, you know, this part is hurting. But I believe in Jesus' name, I'm healed. I don't say, oh, you're feeling, you say, how are you? Say, I'm strong. What type of strength is that? The Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Yeah? But before you can say you are strong, you first of all admit that you were weak. Yeah? So, I mean, if you had to say matter of fact to somebody, you are saved. But you're not going to emphasize it. You understand? You're not going to emphasize your weakness. You're not going to go about making expressions of your weakness or carrying expressions of your weakness. Because that way you're allowing it to dominate you. Are you understanding? But that doesn't mean you deny it. Acknowledge it, but don't accept it. Acknowledge it, but don't affirm it. Acknowledge it, but don't emphasize it. The best way to deal with weakness is acknowledge it, but counteract it immediately with the truth. The fact is I'm not feeling well. The truth is that by His stripes, I am healed, and I claim that healing now. Hallelujah. And one of the keys for you to enter into blessing of this type of victories and deliverance is learning to bless the Lord. I want you to, if all you learn today is that God desires and demands to be blessed. Don't ever walk away and think, it's only God blessing. Hallelujah. He himself wants to be what? Blessed. You know why? It's relationship. Relationship demands give and take. You know that. I'm sure everybody knows that. Anybody in relationship here? Yeah? You know that relationship is what? Sister Shelley. What is relationship? If you have a wife that all she's doing is collecting your money, collecting your everything, gives nothing, will you feel like a happy husband? No food, nothing. Yeah, all she's offering you is dressing herself up in fine clothes, fine perfume, going to parties, asking for more money. Do you feel happy? Hallelujah. So that's the same thing with God. It's relationship. Amen. And the most fundamental blessing you can give to God is praise and thanksgiving. And it should not depend on how we feel. Amen. You may be feeling low, but still just praise Him. It will release power into your situation. That's how you receive deliverance. You may be feeling weak, still praise Him. It will release power into your situation. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas, remember them? They went to preach. And the reward they got was to be locked up in prison. Okay, but what did they do? Basically, in the midnight hour, 12 o'clock, they prayed. And after praying, they sang praises. Hallelujah. They had no reason to sing praises. You know, some people now will be bitter. Say, God, I saved you. See how you are rewarding me. Is this how you reward those who serve you? But they didn't see that way. You understand? They were probably had not eaten. Remember, they had been beaten. They were beaten. And they did not eat. So they are doubly weak. Yeah? If you don't eat, you are not beaten. You are weak. Am I right? Now, you didn't eat and you were beaten. Yeah? So you are doubly weak. So physically, they didn't have even enough energy. But still, you are not just a body. You are a spirit. Say to yourself, I'm not just a body. I'm a spirit. My body may be weak, but my spirit is strong. Hallelujah. Do remember that. Don't forget that. You're not just a body. You're not just an emotion. You're a spirit. Let me teach you this. Sometimes you may be struggling, you know, with people. It's possible. We are human beings. It's going to happen. That somebody is going to annoy you. And sometimes even the people can annoy you. It could be the closest people to you. It's part of just the way life is. No two people are the same. They have different brains, different personalities. We may know each other. Now you are struggling with that. But separate it. That's not your spirit. It can be your spirit if you allow it, but it's not. It's your emotion. So what you need to do is open your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus, I love Brother Gideon. Doesn't matter what he did to me yesterday. Now, in my mind, I'm still struggling with what he did. But I'm not a mind. I'm a spirit. Hallelujah. I say, Father, thank you. Because he's your son, and I ask you to bless him. And I declare in your presence that I forgive him. Even what I did wrong to contribute, I ask for forgiveness. Now, that's spirit talking. Amen? That's spirit what? Talking. And as you do that, you overcome the feeling. Hallelujah. 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 Psalm 103. What are the things that God does for us? He forgives all our sins. Hallelujah. That's who God is. If you read later, he say that, you know, God does not reward us according to our sins. Because if God did, nobody, even the pastor. Amen? He forgives all. So what happens now if you sin? What do you need to do? Run to God and say, Father, I fumbled. Yeah? What you don't want to do is hide it and say, it doesn't matter. See, that's another way to say it. Say, it doesn't matter. All my sins are forgiven. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to go there and freely admit and say, I messed up. And I'm sorry about it. Forgive me. Help me. Amen? And you know that when you do that, what will he do? He will surely forgive you. And he will help you find a way to reduce the trouble. Because the Bible says, anybody that covers his sins will not prosper. But anybody that confesses and forsakes them, we have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Amen? So I know that about God. I can be confident in that. He forgives all my sins. Praise the Lord. That's a good foundation of deliverance. It means that when I receive forgiveness of my sins, even when the devil shows up and tries to tell me, you are rubbish, I can point him back to the cross and say, my sins have been what? Forgiven. My past may not be the best, but my future is bright. Amen? My past may not be what? The best, but my future is what? It's bright. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are what? In past. As far as God is concerned, God is not holding you bound by your past. He has great plans for your future. Hallelujah. All God wants you to do now is cooperate with him. What God has for you in future is much bigger than your past. Whether good or bad. Even if you have been very good in your past, yeah, you can't live there. You can't just realize that I'm a good person. You will miss God. God has great things ahead for you. He's a good God. He forgives all your sins. Second thing he does is what? He heals what? Now let me just stay there because that's very important for deliverance. Open to Matthew. So I want to talk about healing and health today as it applies to you personally and the church in general. Matthew 8, read verse 14 to 17. Let's have one of our youth now. Matthew 8, verse 14 to 17. Yes? Any of you? Matthew 8, 14 to 17.
When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her.
Amen.
Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command.
Amen.
And he healed all the sick.
Yes, why?
This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses.
He took our sicknesses and
removed our diseases.
Thank you so much, Agnes. God bless you. What I want to say here about it, please, you know, listen and understand, is this. Psalm 103 says, he heals all my diseases. How many? I know some diseases like look small. Yeah? You know, maybe someone has an infection and they, you know, there's antibiotic. And you know that, well, if I use an antibiotic, it's going to go. So you already know the solution. All you need to do is go to GP, get an antibiotic. Yeah, it looks easy. Some of that looks very difficult. It's very easy that there is no known cure. But not from the point of view of God. In the point of view of God, all these are the same. He heals what? All. So first and foremost, I want, please understand me and I'll bring in medicine. The first thing to understand, if any disease that presents itself to your life, let me tell you first of all, healing is personal. Don't let the fact that somebody else did not get healed disturb your own faith for healing. Look at that situation. There was Jesus and there was a lot of crowd pressing around him. Have you asked, what was the crowd pressing him for? Hello? Let's have some opinion. Do you know that story about this woman with the issue of blood? When she was going to Jesus, there was a crowd pressing Jesus. What do you think they were pressing him for? Let's have some answers. The crowd was pressing Jesus. What were they pressing him for?
For healing.
Healing, yes. Any other one? Think. Why was the crowd pressing for Jesus?
I believe they had certain needs.
That they wanted to get
him.
Yeah. So yes, I like that. Yes. Any other one? They were pressing. Why?
Just wanted to see any sort of miracle.
Any sort of miracle which match any form of needs, including what Sakolia said, healing. Next question is this. Did all the crowd get what they wanted that day? Again, what we didn't say, but we can infer. Yes? Yeah. Yeah, someone gives me why. Why do you think? If you say no, give the reason. Let's try, Brother Gideon, first, then I'll come to you. Why did you... I don't know your answer. Tell me your answer and why.
No.
No?
Yeah, because some of them didn't have the faith that woman had.
Okay. So what did they have when they were pressing? They didn't have it.
Some of them came with... They came physically.
Yeah.
But they didn't have trust or the faith. They didn't believe that something will come out from Jesus.
Okay.
That will make them...
Like healed, but they were there physically.
But they were there, yes, but
okay, I like that.
Physically, they were there.
Yeah,
they were
not Physic.
There. Physically, they were there.
Physically, they were there.
Spiritually,
they were there. Pressing, but spiritually,
they were not.
Wow, amazing! That's deep. You know, that's a good one. Okay, I'll come to you next.
In the line of what the brother said,
they were there physically, but spiritually, go on.
They came there and it was a little bit like a gamble. They were hoping.
Ah, thank you. I like where you're going. It's just taking it further. It's called spiritual gambling. Let me take my chance. Take my chances. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. They've heard about Jesus. They know you can do stuff. They want to take their chance. Yes, continue. Is that all?
Yeah, that's
right. Thank you. Thank you so much. I like that. Yes. I'll come to you.
Basically, what I was going to say, that they were just hoping.
They were hoping. Look, you know what? Let's solidify. They were hoping. I don't think I could stand and say they were there for nothing. I mean, there's a reason why they left their house. There's a reason why, you know, they are there. Some of them came earlier, pressing. So they were hoping. Which summarizes what you were saying. They were hoping. I like that. Yes? Any other one? Did you have one?
Yeah. So just like they said, they were hoping. And the woman with the issue of blood had proposed in her mind before she even stepped out that today I must be healed. And she spoke the word and she believed.
Mm.
You know, she said, okay, if I can only touch the garment. She already knew that if she could only act, you know, just step out with faith that touching the garment, she'll be healed. And she
Thank you.
Healed.
I like that. Yes.
I wanted to say in line with what she said, but I also wanted to add that the woman had run out of options and she was desperate.
She was desperate.
While the others were kind of still had their options open, so they were not really desperate.
Okay, let me just pause here.
Is that what did you want to say?
I like what you said. You know, sometimes one of the barriers to healing is alternative options. Because it doesn't help your mind to focus. Do you see? Yeah, it doesn't help your mind to focus. But this woman, she has spent what? Everything. So even if she wanted to seek alternative, she's not even financially empowered. Amen? She was at the last stop. She was desperate. Although, let's say, being desperate, you know, is not enough for a miracle. I want to change the world, you know? And she was, let me use a more positive word. I don't think desperate, desperate is not a positive word. But it describes the situation. She was determined. Yeah? She was determined. Or what Statoin said, she had proposed in her mind that I am going to take hold. I'm going to receive. In fact, actually, basically, before she went, before she touched Jesus, she pictured it everything. In her mind, she pictured healing. She had a picture of healing in her mind before touching Jesus. Yeah? He said, if I may just touch, I was. You can see, so there's something about receiving. There's something about faith. Yeah? That starts from you. Amen? Remember, he heals all my disease. It means that any disease that comes my way, God heals. Now, we know that people go unhealed. We know people even die. I'm not judging. It's not our job to start judging anybody. But what your own case must be different. Say my case must be different. Now, what matters? Amen? It doesn't matter whether 1 billion people are in hospital. If you go there, your job is, I want to go and come out well. Am I right? The same thing, spiritually. Anytime you are reaching out to God for deliverance, and deliverance means everything. Deliverance means your prayers being answered. Deliverance means you're getting well. Deliverance means, you know, a problem being solved. Anything that is like a problem in your life, the day you are delivered, that means you've overcome it. Amen? To receive your deliverance starts in your heart. You make up your mind that it is possible. Amen? To him that believes, all things are possible. Let's picture it. We say it, but think of what I'm saying. To him that believes, what? Do you know the meaning of that? When you believe something, you see possibility. Inside. Amen? Hallelujah. You see what? Possibility. Sometimes when I'm believing, sometimes, you know, it could happen that I just suddenly sit under my skin. That it's looking, you know, funny. And initially, you won't be afraid. Rush down to GP. And by the way, GP, it's good to go to GP. You know, I always say something. If you can't undo something, seek for help. Yeah? It's more foolish not to be able to undo something and not to seek for help. You understand? It's very simple. You know? If you have a problem with your car battery, find someone who can, you know, help you. Charge it. If you need to push your car, don't push it alone. Find help. You know? If you go to a shop and you don't know your way around, call for a help. Wherever you can find help, take. But when you determine that this has to be done, you must see the possibility. So once you start seeing the possibility, you are near your victory. So one of the possibilities I see is that this thing, you do not belong to my body. And you must leave. I see it. I see it leaving. I see it shrinking. I see it dying. I see it in my mind. My faith is working. Because already, from the character of God, he heals all my diseases. I believe it. Say, he heals all my diseases. Hallelujah. How many of them does he heal? Oh. Let me just repeat that again. How many? That means that as far as God is concerned, he's ready to do all. Amen? He's ready to do what? All. So now, for me, I must see the possibility. Hallelujah. If for example, there are some things that have arisen and they told you that there's no solution. Yeah? For you to get a miracle, you must see what? The possibility. Hallelujah. You see the possibility. And you do what? You take hold of it. That's what that woman did. She took hold of her miracle. The others were pressing. She was taking hold. Can you see? Look at the hands. The others were what? Pressing. See how you press? You don't take hold by pressing. Hallelujah. They were what? What was she doing? Sticking hold. Open to 1 Timothy 6:12. That's the last place and we'll round up. 1 Timothy 6:12. First Timothy. 1 Timothy. It's the first letter of Paul to Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 12. That's the last place. We'll round up there. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. When destruction arises, I expect God to redeem me. He crowns me with love. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He crowns me with loving kindness and with tender mercies. And he satisfies my mouth with good things. You know what? I expect good things to come in for me. He just said, I expect good things to come in for me. You have to expect it. Let me just say, sorry to keep you standing. Let me just say this. Don't just, you know, give to God. Expect. Hello? Don't give to God and say, you know, I don't expect. See, you're doing your God a favor. No. When you give to God, expect good things to come in for you. And when you expect it, you find yourself saying it. Hallelujah. And I tell you something, one thing about good things coming in for you is this. If good things are going to come in for you, you need humility to receive. You know, says, say, hear me, can you, the Lord says I should give you, says, I don't bother. Amen? Let me tell you, I'm a giver, and I'm also what? I will not tell you don't bother, I'll receive and bless you. Amen? He said, give, and you will what? Receive. So, you are giving, expect good things. It's not the people you give that will give you, it's God that will give you, but he will give you two people. Sometimes it will be favor. Something that you cost you, someone will say, don't, you know, I'll do it for you at half price. You know? Or they will say, don't worry about paying. Hallelujah. It's God behind it. Then you not say, okay, you know, no, I must pay. Expect good things. It satisfies you with what? Good things. Okay, let's do that reading and we'll finish there. 1 Timothy 6:12. I just want to show you something then and we finish there. About receiving deliverance. Because it's a matter of receiving.
1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith.
Fight the good fight of faith. Can you just see the person? Can you see that woman? As she pushed through the crowd. That was a good fight of what?
Faith.
She was not fighting the devil. She was fighting for her faith. See, in her mind, she said, I will touch. For her to touch, she needs to get through. Yeah? So she pushed through. Yeah? Standing firm against the devil is a good fight of
faith.
Amen? Continue.
Lay hold on eternal life.
That's where I'm going to. He said, lay hold. Somebody say, lay hold.
Lay hold.
Please sit down. God bless you. How do you lay hold? Let's ask those final questions and we finish there. How do you lay hold on something? Yes? Hello? How do you lay hold on something? If you want to lay hold on something, how do you do it? Give us an example, okay? Anybody? How do you lay hold? He said, lay hold on eternal life. How do you lay hold?
You insist.
You insist. Another word that is similar. You persist. Another word. Stay focused. Another word. You possess. Another word. Take. Maintain. What do you do? That's my best answer. I like it. You maintain your what? Grip. You know, you won't let go. You know, God forbid, may we never fall victim to a bulldog. Yeah, one quality of these dogs is that they don't let go. Sometimes I've thought about dogs. I say, what's so powerful about dogs? You know, a dog is usually smaller than a human being. But you know, what about them? They don't mind dying. When they decide to lay hold, they are just going to hold it until they break their brain. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Lay hold on eternal life. What is eternal life? Everything Jesus has paid for. Amen. Your healing is part of eternal life. Your deliverance is part of what? Eternal life. Your forgiveness is part of what? Eternal life. Your prosperity is part of what? Your fruitfulness, both physically and spiritually, is part of it. You lay hold on it. You fight for it. You maintain your grip. Amen? You insist. You persist. Yeah? You don't let go. And it will become fully yours. Hallelujah. God has not called you to be a victim. Say, God has not called me to be a victim. Hallelujah. He has called me, say that, to win. That's the life of a believer. And we win by laying hold, knowing fully well that He, the Lord, as far as God is concerned, He forgives all your sins. All I need to do is go and admit my fault. You see, when I'm doing that, I'm laying hold. Rather than sitting back and saying, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. See? If when you say, oh, I'm bad, I'm so bad, I don't, you are not laying hold of internal life. But when you do wrong and you go to God and say, God, this is me, tell Him everything. You know, and receive forgiveness. You are laying hold on eternal life. Amen? When you are down, and when you are sick, you don't just sit back and say, you know, I'm just down, or I'm just sick. No, you go into praise. Hallelujah. You praise God. When you praise God, despite how you are feeling, you are laying hold on eternal life. You thank Him. You bless Him. And you just want to say, Father, I thank You. Because Your healing power is working in my body right now. Now, in your body, you are not feeling anything. But in your spirit, you are laying hold on eternal life. Amen? When trouble shows up, and trouble can show up in life, trouble can show up. You don't succumb. You don't submit. Sometimes, even other times I say, you don't even pity yourself. I usually delay my self-pity until I've won. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. This is my principle when I'm going through a very, very trying time, a very bad time. I delay self-pity. Because I know that if I have self-pity when I'm going through a bad time, it doesn't help me to lay hold. You see, rather than laying hold, I'll be letting go. Self-pity, let's go. And that's not how you win. He said, lay hold. Say, just say, lay hold. Don't let go. So I delay the self-pity until when it's over. You know, I can always reflect back and say, oh, I suffer, but God came through. See? But while I'm going through, I entertain self-pity. I lay hold. Hallelujah. I begin to say, Father, thank You because You are working this for my good. Thank You because You are going to satisfy me with good things. Thank You because this time will also pass. Thank You because this situation will turn around for good. As I'm blessing You, I say, Father, give me wisdom. If there's anything I don't know, show me. If there's anything I need to know or anybody I need to go to, like I said, you don't suffer alone. Amen? There are some problems in your life. You just need somebody who knows more than you. There's always somebody in this world who knows more than you. There's always somebody in this world who can do it better than you. Amen? There's somebody in this world who can work with you. Yeah? And sometimes it's wisdom to seek the help rather than suffer alone. Hallelujah. When you do that, you are what? You are taking a firm grip rather than letting go. Hallelujah. When you lay hold on eternal life, the victory becomes yours. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's just bow our heads and talk to God. Today we talked about, you know, blessing the Lord as a key to deliverance, as a key to being set free from oppression. You know, just to spend time. If you can just change your lifestyle. I don't know what it is like for you in a day. But I know that even on the move, you can praise God. You know, I want us to develop, revise your lifestyle and give more time to praising and thanking God daily. When you do that, you are already delivered. You know, once someone says that somebody who spends good time in praise and thanksgiving, yeah, will not be dominated by depression. No matter what you are going through. No matter. If you can spend time daily and just give good time to praise God and thank Him. Now remember that praising God does not depend on what you are going through. You are praising God because He's a good God. You are praising God because He's the one that forgives all your sins. You are praising God because He's the one that delivers you no matter what you are going through. And so make that, you know, commitment. I want to live a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving. Very important. If there's something I want to teach you today, that's a major key. The second major key to receiving deliverance is that you have to lay hold You don't let go. So praise God and say, Father, I repent in any aspect of my life I've been letting go. You see, when you let go, you let Satan kick you. That's not what you want. You fight to the last, the fight of faith. Hallelujah. You lay hold on eternal life. How do you lay hold? You open your mouth and begin to confess what God has said. You open your mouth and begin to confess what you believe. You know? You open your mouth and begin to say what you want to see happen. Like that woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I touch him, I will be whole.